Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center.
So has anybody heard that expression or that question, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Does anybody know where that came from? Well, I do. You do?
Came from a commercial.
Came from a commercial. Amen.
Cell phone
commercial. She's right. That phrase was an ad campaign from 2002 to 2011 for Verizon.
Yeah.
And there was an actor that always said, when he was connecting, can you hear me now? So you remember that, right? Can you hear me now? It's ingrained in our memories. That hasn't been a commercial for how many years? Maybe 8, 9 years already. But then that individual, that actor actually, if you notice, went to Sprint, a competitor.
Oh.
And now he has a new saying. And that saying is this. And I don't really understand really how it works, but if you could hear me now with Verizon, not anymore. Okay. So he's kind of bashing Verizon. But you know, this is a good question. Can you hear me now? And I feel and I see that that's a question I believe God is asking us today. He's asking man today. He's asking his creation of man and women today. Because God has a message he wants to communicate with us, to the human race. And he's saying to us, can you hear me now? And what's this message? What's this message? This message is the gospel message. This is the most important, life-changing message on this planet, brothers and sisters. The gospel message is something, is the most important, life-changing, wonderful message that God wants us to hear and know and believe. He's asking, can you hear me now? But in order for it to take effect, it has to be heard, right? It has to be believed. And once believed, man's sins are forgiven, and he is saved, and he has this thing called spiritual life. The problem today is man is born in this world spiritually dead. You see, we say it all the time. They're in need of spiritual life, and they're searching for everything for that life. It's not found in anything but Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, God can work in a lot of ways. He can speak to our hearts. A man shared with me last week that he was in despair. He was destroyed, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord just showed him his love, and he prayed. He said, I receive Christ right there. Amen? God can do that, and God does do that. Amen? That's wonderful. God's silent voice spoke to that man, and he received Jesus, and he's a new creation in Christ right there, right that instant, right that second. He believed. But God works in different ways. God also works through the mouthpiece of men, preaching the gospel, hearing the gospel, being sent out with the gospel. So today I want to look at this because Paul lays out this wonderful track, this wonderful path the gospel takes in Romans chapter 10. I'm going to call them stages. So there's stages the gospel takes as it's heard or believed, or heard or perhaps rejected. What are the stages? And God's question to mankind, can you hear me now?
No, it's live because it's free. It's finished.
When message
it's finished,
one.
It's finished. Okay. It's
okay. Message is preached to all. Point one. Romans 10, 14, C to 15. Romans 10, 11 to 13. Stage two. The message is heard by all. Romans 10, 14, B to 17. Point three. Message believed by some. Romans 8, 10, 8 to 10, and 14a. And message rejected by some. Romans 10, 16. And 18. So I'm going to read now Romans 10, 13 to 15, and open this message in prayer. Let's go to our Bibles. Romans 10, verse 13 to 15. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring news of good things. Let's open this service in prayer. Amen. Thank you so much, Lord, for the scriptures. And how Paul lays out the gospel is presented to the people, the unsaved, in this case, Israel. I pray, Lord, that we understand how it works, that we be a part of your plan, that you'd use us to preach and proclaim your word, Lord, and that you would bring people to our past that don't know you, we could share this good news. Thank you so much for this time. Speak through me with your spirit, through my lips, to the audience today who is listening. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So what is the gospel? After all these weeks, I say it every week, right? At the beginning of introduction, every one of these certain messages in Romans. Gospel is this. Romans, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. For I delivered to you as first importance what you also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So basically, this is it. The gospel is Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, and Christ was resurrected for our sins, and that is the offer of spiritual life to mankind. I say it every week so we understand it. Christ plus nothing. But now, Romans chapter 9. Last week, Paul diverts from chapter 1 through 8, talks about believers in Christ. Now he reverts and goes to chapter 9, 10, 11, talks about Israel. And in chapter 9, he said he had great sorrow for the nation Israel. Remember that from last week? His plan for Israel unfolds in the promise of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the lineage, all the way goes to Christ, the redemption of the God-man Jesus Christ. And he says at the end of that, there's a remnant of Israel who will believe in the Messiah. Okay? Paul said he wished he wasn't saved. You remember that? He said he wished he was accursed. He said he wished he didn't have Christ so he could be like them and communicate to them, but he can't go back. But now in chapter 10, the chapter we're looking at today, Paul opens up verse 1, chapter 10 says this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is their salvation. Paul is saying, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, them being Israel, is for their salvation. Paul, his heart, he loves them, these people so much. It's like our families and friends, that he's praying for their salvation. Brothers and sisters, this word salvation means deliverance. It means to be delivered from. He's praying that they're delivered. Okay? Delivered from what? From sin. From the bondage of sin. From the power of sin. From the penalty of sin. But this whole message of salvation, what is it? It's deliverance. And Paul talked about that. Actually, the theme verse in Romans is Romans 1:16, which says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This deliverance is power. It's a power of the gospel. It's available to all who believe, to the Greek, which is the non-Jew, and the Jew. Amen?
Amen.
Salvation is available to all, and Paul's desire for family, his family, Israel, is their deliverance, is their salvation. He wants them to move from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what Paul's desire is. But then in verses 2 to 4, I'll read them, Paul tells us their condition. Why they need spiritual life, why he's praying for them, why he wants them to understand who Christ is. He says this in verse 2, I read it to 4 in chapter 10. For I testify about them, that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's verses 2 to 4 in chapter 10. What is Paul saying? What's their problem? They have a zeal for God. They want to serve God. They want to follow God. They want to do right for God, but they're not doing it the right way, not in accordance with correct knowledge. They're approaching God with I'm a good person theology, which means I do good, God accepts me. If I do poorly, God doesn't accept me. That's not in the Bible, brothers and sisters. No such thing. They have a zeal, and many of us have a zeal too. But we approach God in the wrong way. We don't understand God's righteousness is only made right in us by faith in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's by faith, not by works. That's a problem back with Israel. It's a problem today. How many people think, how many religions of the world think their way to God is to work to God? That is not scriptural. It's by faith you are righteous. Amen? That's their problem. That's many of our problems today. We seek righteousness by our own works. We don't understand. They didn't understand. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. If you follow the law completely, like Paul was a Pharisee, he said, as part of the law, blameless. I did all these things. The end of the law is Christ. The law shows you your need for Jesus Christ, his righteousness by faith in him. Christ is the end of the law. We're justified by faith. We're made right by faith. If the law could give you spiritual life, it could, it would, but it can't. You need something different. You need something more. Israel needs something more, and so do we today who don't know Jesus Christ. That is spiritual life. Then in verses 5 to 7, I'm not going to read them, Paul gives a little further explanation of their problem. He says, they're living by law. They're living by rules. They're living in a way that's heavy burdens, frustration, okay? Resentment. They're living in a way that is not fruitful, that is not peaceful. There's a better way, and that is a way of living by grace, with Christ as our source, amen? And they don't understand living by faith. They think it's works and rules. So unbelieving Israel and us unbelieving men today have the same problem. Spiritual deadness, in search of spiritual life, looking everywhere to fill that hole in the heart that only can be filled by Jesus Christ. They need spiritual life, they need their sins forgiven, and they need to be made right by God by faith. That is the problem with man today. It has a problem with Israel, it is a problem with us today. Nothing has changed. When we're born in the dead, and dead, spiritually dead, in this term called in Adam. So that's people. Everyone born today are dead spiritually. So how does the gospel message reach those people? Okay. How does the world hear about spiritual life being offered through Jesus Christ? How does the world know that they need or made a right by faith in Jesus Christ? How do they know? That's the gospel message, brothers and sisters. So that's my stage one. So my stage one is it needs to be preached. Romans 10, I'm reading now. First point, 14c to 15. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. That word preach or preacher is also translated proclaim. I can rephrase this. How will they hear without a proclaimer? How will they proclaim unless they are sent? You know what? Many of us think the preacher or the proclaimer is the Billy Grahams of the world. Amen? What I want to challenge you today and say is that is a special case of a special God anointing on him to reach the world for the lost. But you know what? Every one of us here sitting here today listening to me on through Facebook can be a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not only for him or for the pastor or for this one or that one or elder. No, it's for you too. Proclaimer. How will they hear without a proclaimer? How will they proclaim unless they are sent? Amen. How can Israel hear? They need somebody to proclaim it to them. Man today needs somebody to proclaim the gospel to them. They need to be sent. You know, being sent, when I read this, it made me think of a missionary, right? Like we're working with Uganda. This guy calls me from India today, the other day, and he's like, we accept this call. I'm like, yeah, I hope my phone bill is going to be through the roof, but I called this guy like half an hour from India. He wants to know about the gospel. He wants to know about living in grace. He asked me, a guy here in the United States, to help him, amen? But you know what? There are missionaries dedicated for that, but you know what? Our mission field, brothers and sisters, is here, okay? You live here. You live in this county. You live in this state. Your mission field is here. You are sent out every day when you walk out of your front door to go to work, okay, with that same idea to preach lest they are sent, and for people to hear and proclaim the gospel. Your mission field is your home, your neighborhood, and your town. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not dedicated to the evangelist deacon we have over here, brother, what a wonderful man. Or this other deacon we have that does it. No, it's not all the leadership. It's you. It's you. You know what? God wants to send you. He wants you to speak. He wants to speak through you. He wants you to go out every day and say, Lord, is there somebody that's in my path today that needs to hear this great news? And he wants you to tell them, because they are lost, brothers and sisters. They need to know the good news, the gospel of grace. But the point is, when we do this, we proclaim it. And I'm going to say this. We don't hit everybody over the head with the gospel. Okay? We proclaim it in a Spirit-led way, in a Spirit-led, his timing, guided by the Holy Spirit and his timing, not in my timing. You know what? In our first church, years ago, the pastor would ask us, how many people did you share with this week? It's not checking the box. It's how God leads, how the Spirit leads, how you speak through. People need to know what they need is Jesus Christ. Okay? But it needs to be proclaimed. But who do we proclaim it to? You know what? This is the answer. You proclaim it to everybody God directs to you. It's whoever. It's the whoever. Okay? Romans 10, 11 to 13. For Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the Lord is the Lord of all, the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You hear that? Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And whoever is whoever. There's no target audience. Okay? There's no certain ethnic background. It's not a male or female, a young person, a senior, a child, a homeless person, a businessman, a co-worker, you know. It's not a college student. It's whoever. The gospel is for everyone. Every person on this earth, the gospel is for. It's not just for Israel. It's for everybody. We'll see that in a couple of weeks, that God gave the gospel, gave salvation, opportunity to the Gentile to make the Jews jealous. We'll see that next week. But it's for everybody. God will bring this whoever to you. He will draw them to you because he wants you to proclaim to them their need. And you know what? The answer is Jesus Christ who died for their sins. Amen. We need to be ready to proclaim. We need to be ready to say. You know what? We have to be bold. Now, you know what? When I first got saved in our first church, we had to memorize a tract. These little tracts to share. And the four spiritual laws, remember those tracts? I forget who did that. Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ. And I studied that tract. And I would just pass people out a tract. And they would say, thank you, and put it in their pocket and walk away. They didn't care about the tract. They didn't care about the tract. It's not about that. It's about a relationship, sharing one-on-one, and telling people what they need. It's Jesus Christ. But many, many churches don't do this anymore. They focus inward. They focus about inward needs and not outward focus of the church. And the church in this country is declining because there is a lack of focus on the gospel message going out. Brothers and sisters, I remember this from Billy Graham said, I just preach the gospel and he does the work and it does work. Amen. You notice that? Yes. The last couple of months? Yeah. Amen. Just preach the gospel. I'll take care of it. That's simply it. Preach it. Teach it. Focus out. Also, in your church, focus out. You know what? It's not about memorizing a tract. It's not about knowing all this stuff. All I know is I prayed, I received Jesus, and this is my testimony on how God changed my life. Do you have a testimony how God changed your life? Amen? Are you the same that you were from 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, even yesterday? Have you changed? Amen? I spoke to a brother the other day. He said, this whole week I feel different. Amen? It's only a week he's changed. God is working, brothers and sisters. That's your testimony. Amen? Yeah. Amen. We've all come from horrible things and past and all. God is working, moving us forward. Hey, guys, look what God has done for me. I'm not special. He can do it for you. You need spiritual life. That's what the gospel is. But you know what? They will not hear without a proclaimer. They will not hear unless we share. Okay? Not in a forced way, but in a Spirit-led way. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. Okay. So it's preached. Second stage. The message is heard by all. Romans 10, 14b. How will they believe in him who they have not heard? Good question. 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. After the message is preached, it is heard. The message goes through the ear gate and is heard. But how does one hear the message after it's proclaimed. There's many ways. Now, I'm going to say this. Today, it's different than it was even 20 years ago.
Okay.
You know what? 20, 30 years ago, I went to a Billy Graham crusade in Meadowlands with my church. And all of us, most of us were Christians at the time. And we had one holdout who wouldn't, he was fighting. And we went to the Billy Graham crusade, and he gave an altar call. And this guy, who happens to be my brother-in-law, walked up, and he said, I believe. And he got saved. That's awesome. That was a big event. There was 40,000 people there, whatever it was, 50,000 people. You know what? Billy Graham is an awesome man God used.
Yes.
But you know what? He could use you. So we hear the gospel on radio. We hear the gospel on, remember these cassette tapes years ago from the pulpit. You know what? We had our first pastor back in the 90s. We used to have this cassette tape every week he made. It was called Men on the March. Now we drive to work every week and put that tape in and listen to the gospel, amen? But today we have much better ways. Radio, what do we got? Social media, Facebook, websites, podcasts, YouTube. We still have CDs. We still have message Sunday mornings. There's a lot of ways, websites, a lot of ways for people to hear the gospel. This is all good. It's a great way. There could be a lot of error, though, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, we have a new app on our Roku TV, and I said, wow, it's a Christian app. I put it on, and now he's talking about salvation, and it was wrong. I said, I'm deleting that app.
Yeah.
Right? Just to speak. It's wrong what he was saying. Not right. Adding things to salvation. No, you don't add. It's by faith. He was adding things in and said, you're saved. He is wrong. We'll show you that in a minute. But you know what? Those are all okay, but the best way is one-on-one. What have happened to the old-fashioned way of one-on-one talking, communicating, relating? You know, today we are on the internet, we're on our phones. We don't communicate. The millennials don't communicate like we communicate. We older people communicate, I should say, older. But you know, they don't speak so much, right? They need to speak. The best way is one-on-one conversation, amen, where we can ask questions and respond and show people the love of Christ and Him seeing in us, okay? And we can clarify any error, or we can re-proclaim, I'm saying, what was heard. You know what? It's preached, but then it's heard, but it needs to be discussed. Amen? Hearing is the gateway for belief in Jesus Christ. So we preach it, then we hear it, then we can talk about it. Amen? There's the third stage. After we hear it, message believed by some. Romans 10, 8 to 10, and 14a. Follow along. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Then I read 14a. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? So what is this gospel again? Repeat it, right? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected for our sins. But now Paul explains to us what belief is here in these verses, what it looks like. He says, first we confess that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Confess means to agree with. To agree he's Lord. But what does it mean he's Lord? It means this. It means he is God. He is the Son of God. He is deity. He is the God-man. He is the Jesus that died for the sins of the world. That's what he is when we say he is Lord. He is God. You know, some people don't believe Jesus is God, right? Many people don't. We had a little dinner with a guy who was a friend, last 2 weeks ago at a diner. And he said, I'm an atheist. I said, you need a lot of faith to be an atheist, brother. How do you know there's nothing? Who created all this? God created it. There's a creator, and there's a way of salvation. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? But he didn't believe. So it comes with this first. Confessing, he is Lord. John 1:14. Now, there's a lot of verses about Jesus being deity and God. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh. The Word is God, right? Christ. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth, meaning he dwelt among us. He became flesh. That's Jesus Christ, amen? Philippians 2:8-9. Being found in him appearance as a man, He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. You know what? There's a lot of verses that talks about Jesus being God, being deity. Okay? Many are hung up on it. Many are hung up on it. But you know what? The end of the law and righteousness is Jesus Christ. The hole in somebody's heart, what they're searching for, can only be filled by Jesus Christ. He's the answer, brothers and sisters. It's not all these other things. It's not your spouse. It's not your job. It's not materialism. It's not some philosophy. It's Jesus Christ. So we need to confess and agree he is God. Amen? But then, second part of that is acknowledging that he's God and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is a heart belief. Now, what does that mean? Believe in your heart. You know, there's a lot of folks that believe in Jesus, right? Technically, in the Bible. He's in there, yeah, man. You know, Laura's father, years ago, he got saved later on in life, but as a younger, in his 60s, he got saved about 70-something. He would say, yeah, man, I believe in Jesus. I read the Bible cover to cover. He viewed the Bible as a history book. He knew it. He knew all the Old Testament stories. He knew all about Jesus. But he didn't have it in his belief in his heart. He didn't believe in his heart he was Jesus, his God. He didn't believe he rose from the dead for his sins. He looked at it from a textbook perspective. Okay? Well, you know what? That's not believing. When we believe, we're saying this. You know what, Lord? I'm a sinner. I'm in need of forgiveness of my sins. I need spiritual life. I know something is wrong. Admit it. I know something's missing. I know something's wrong. I believe in my heart it's you can feel that need. You can help me. That's what it's saying. Come into my life. Make me new. Teach me your ways. And I love this one. Live, let me, I need you as a source to live life. I love that. Forgive me. Come into my life and make me new. That's what that is, believing in the heart, guys. It's no special prayer. It's just believing and having faith that he died and was risen. That's a heart belief. But you know what? Brothers and sisters, it's very simple. But we have Christians and we have people, the devil, doing all these, messing around here, trying to make it that it's not so easy. No. There's some people that say, and this is an error from the evil one, that say, believing is okay, but you need to add something. That's a lie from the devil. It's not belief plus something. It's not belief plus that. It's belief. Heart belief. That means faith. That means trusting. That means dependence on. Okay? Some will say, you need to believe and do this. Commit. Okay? Sounds good, but it's not in the Bible. Or believe and submit. In other words, I got to submit before I can believe at the same time. And then when I don't submit, I don't, for some reason, maybe don't believe. Or I fell out of God's favor. Not in the Bible. It doesn't say commit and faith. It says faith, believe. Or a pledge to God. I'm going to give up some behavior before I can come to you. Not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. It's by faith. Amen? I have to give up some sin. No, not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. It's by faith. Amen? Not any. But man twists this. They come up to these younger believers and say, are you sure you're saved because you didn't give up on that? That's a lie from the devil. It's not true. If you have faith, you are saved. Amen? You have the Holy Spirit. It's like, yeah, God will work in your life and get rid of those things later, but that doesn't mean you're not saved. Why are we judging? Why do people do this? Why do Christians do this? They judge people on this. They destroy people. They don't understand. Amen. It's a hideous lie. I believe propagated from the evil one, and there's churches that teach this. Yes. They're wrong. Yeah. It's a lie from the devil. Don't believe it. Okay? You're saved by faith. Simply that. You don't have to do anything else. Believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you are saved. That's it.
Amen.
Amen. That is it. You know, 30 years ago, I met with a pastor, and you know, I was a good Catholic boy. And I was going to tell him what it means to be a Christian. And he turned the tables right on me, man. He says, "You don't know anything, son." He's older guy. Big guy, too. 300-pound guy. I'm like a little guy. Okay. He said, "We went through all this, all these works things and things I learned as a kid, you know?" And he said, "You know, it's by faith." He showed me all these verses and Romans. And he said, "Rob, do you want to receive Christ?" And I said, I thought about it, and I said, "Yeah, right now." He said, "You want to pray?" I said, "Yeah, right now." I prayed. In that instant, the light turned on in my head and said, "Amen, now I understand." Because I knew something was wrong. I just didn't know what it was. It was, I needed Christ. I needed Christ. But you know what? I didn't have anybody saying to me, "Rob, you didn't give up on that. You didn't give up that. You didn't pledge to do that. You didn't do this." No, it's just by faith. I didn't know anything. Yeah. Amen? Well, I just do this. I had Christ.
Amen.
That's all I knew. That's the starting point. He changed my life, and he's still changing it today, all these years later. That's it. Let's not let the devil screw around and mess around with our heads and say, "You're not," because for something I didn't do. It's by faith you are saved. Let him work in your life. Amen? Let him change you from the inside out, not from the law, not from the old covenant, but from the new. Go back to Romans 6. You're crucified and risen with Christ. Amen? You're united with him. That's really how he works in your life. And you change. What did I know? All I knew is this. Christ saved me. That's all I knew. Amen. Simple that. Simple that. But then, what says, when we believe in our heart, we're saved, we're saved. Salvation means deliverance. Sins are forgiven. The power of sin is broken. The penalty of sin is taken away. We're made righteous, all by the same belief. And there's no separation here. I want to make a distinction between righteousness and salvation. It comes at the same time. When we believe, we are declared righteous, and we have this thing called salvation, which is being delivered. They go together. We get salvation and righteousness together when we believe. You know, as a child of God, this was striking me now lately, last couple year or two, is this thing about having a new source to live the life, Christian life, right? Why? So many times, I don't know why, and we're not doing this anymore in this church, brothers and sisters. We receive Jesus and we give you the list of things to do. We make you study the 26-week study on how to be a Christian. Simply this, living from Christ as your source. That's 101, the first thing we do, and everything flows from there. Amen. It's not always other things. He's your source. Okay? The Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is in you. Now, I love this verse. Circle it. Romans 10, 11. Go back to that. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That's a fabulous verse, isn't it? Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Why? Because this deliverance, this salvation brings stability, peace, rest, new source to live life, an exciting future. God lives in you. You have the power of the Spirit in you. You have the power to overcome demonic influences. And you have authority over the evil one. Christ is living in you. That, to me, is pretty good, right? Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That's a lot you get, amen, when you receive Jesus, isn't it? Amen. Are you disappointed? I'm not. Now that I know what I have. That's a wonderful way to live, knowing what you have. Amen. Just tell Christ, "I'm yours. I want you to live your life through me." Now he will use you in great mighty ways. You know, I talked about this a couple months ago, one of my messages. You know, this thing about ability versus availability. It's not how much you know. You have to know something. It's being available. That's it. God wants you available to come to him, to be available. He'll use you any way he can, amen. It's not about how much you know. It's about being available. He'll use you. He'll use what you know, amen. That's an exciting way to live the Christian life. And the fourth stage, that's received by some, the message. But some reject the message. Romans 10, 16, and Romans 10, 18. Talks about Israel here. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So some didn't believe. Verse 18. But I say surely, they have never heard, have they? Indeed, they have, Paul says. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. You know what? There is a remnant of Israel that will believe. Amen? The good news. But they haven't, in this case. He's saying some rejected it, right? There's no excuse. There's no excuse when we leave this earth to say, "God, you know, I never knew the gospel." He'll say, "You've heard it somewhere, some way. I made you hear it. You got it at least once." Amen? There's no excuses. Okay? The message is heard, but sometimes the message is rejected. Israel rejected it, except for the remnant. Men today reject it. Now, I got to tell you, there's demonic and evil influences so prevalent, I think especially around here, that are keeping men from finding and hearing the truth of the gospel. It is such a hideous thing. We need to pray against that. Amen? We need to pray, bind it. You know what? We have Jesus in us. We have the authority to bind him from affecting us. Do just say, get away from me, Satan. Okay? The authority of Jesus' name. He'll leave. He cannot do anything to you.
That's right.
But people, so many people through the years, I've known, they visit church. They have a, want to take a step forward and want to receive Christ. They want to learn. They want to grow. All of a sudden, something happens. There's an issue. I always talk about the story of a neighbor. We had a study for this young couple years ago. Young couples. This young couple in their house was going to come. And they weren't saved, you know. And we had a study at our house. And they lived like three houses down. And right there, we were having a study. Every Wednesday night, 7:30. And at like 7:25, these guys got in the worst fight of their marriage, right?
Yeah.
And they actually split up that day. And they never came back. Okay. Why is that? You think that's some kind of random thing? It's not a random thing. The evil one devised some issue with them so they didn't hear what we were going to tell them that day, which is the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we have authority to bind as a Christian, but we should be praying for others to hear that God, we could bind the enemy from sidetracking them, hindering them from hearing. It's so important. Prayer is so important. We need to be a praying church, praying for our families, praying for folks. You know, I pray, you know, a visitor came last week, brothers and sisters, I love you guys, and they came back. I said, I've been praying all week for them. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
And look what God did. Made a way path, right? Amen? Amen. That's how it works, guys. Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said in the beginning, I'm praying for their salvation. We should be praying for our loved ones' salvation too. Amen? Just like he did. So, and brothers and sisters, as we get to the end, we close. Many reject the gospel. They don't realize what they're searching for is Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He fills the hole. He gives you new life. He changes you from the inside out. Gives you a purpose. Gives you peace. Okay? He offers salvation. It'll never be taken away, the offer. If you decide and you think about it, it'll never take away. The offer is always on the table. Romans 10:21 says, but as for Israel, he says, all the day long, I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. You know what? Even though they were disobedient and obstinate, the Israelites, God's hand is still stretched out. It is still stretched out for you if you don't know him. Amen? So if you know Christ today, that's a wonderful thing. Proclaim him in his spirit, led by his spirit in his time. If you don't know him, you can know him. He offers always on the table. And just by praying and saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Come into my life. I believe who you say you are. You died for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my life and make me new. And he will do that. And then you would say, Lord, I want to follow you and be my source to live life. And he would do that right there in instant prayer, something like that. Not exactly in those words, but in your own heart. Amen. Then you are saved. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that message wonderful? Isn't that something that changes lives? Wonderful. Isn't that what God wants? Awesome thing. So, what are the four stages? Of, can you hear me now? Message preach, message heard, message believe, message rejected by some, message believed by some. You know what? God could be calling you right now. Pick up the phone. Amen?
Can you hear me?
So I got it. I believe. Can you hear me now? Is God saying that to you today? If he is, say, Lord, I understand. I understand the gospel. I believe in your spiritual life. You know, it's an awesome journey to be saved. It's an awesome journey to let God use you. It's exciting. I can't believe what God is doing in the past 6 months. Me, personally, and his church. It's not me. It's him. Him through us. Amen. So it's wonderful. It's God calling you. Answer, pick it up, and he will give you spiritual life when you pray to him to receive it. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we're going to sing one last song. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage in Romans chapter 10. You know, some of Israel rejected you, but a remnant believes. Many men today reject you, but many men believe. I pray, Lord, that you would break down the barrier, go through the ear gate of many don't know you, and go to their hearts and say, I am the one who will be your source of life and give you spiritual life. It's not in any other way. And that they would pray to receive you and become born again and become new. Thank you for the gospel message. Thank you for all you're doing here in the life of this church and the life of this body. And I pray, Lord, that we see many souls come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.